Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We are going to be covering Outlander.
Yeah!
Seven, episode 9, Unfinished Business, and season 7, episode 10, Brotherly Love.
Because we had Unfinished Business with Outlander season 7. Sure.
It's getting better, though.
But why is it 8 episodes? It should be its own season. It should be season 8. Why do they...
Ugh. I don't know, Mother, and... I will never understand that, but, you know, no. It's what we've got, so...
Yeah, so this season gets disclaimers, because that's as good as it's going to get. And there are disclaimers for this show, which include that there's going to be cursing. Already has been cursing. Will continue to be cursing. Cursing happens. There will be spoilers for the second half of season 7 of Outlander. And we are leading into season 8, which, again, it's coming.
It's here. The first episode's already.
Yeah, it's already dropped, but we are doing season 7 still, so we are not getting into season 8 yet. And we are having something to drink. What are we calling this?
The Big Ian.
The Big Ian. Oh, Ian Murray, the elder.
Man, you are.
The man he is. So this is a combination of passion fruit puree, pineapple juice, and a little bit of soda water. It is non-alcoholic. I like it.
I like it too. Ooh. It's very tropical. Mm-hmm. It's kind of similar to a pog juice kind of taste.
Yeah, a bit. It probably has nothing to do with Ian Murray the Elder, other than we like it and we like him.
Yeah.
So that's a good connection. I think that works. But let's get started. So we've got past
far
and
past.
Other past.
I call it the far past. And then the present, very briefly, Brianna's just upset that her husband just had to go through the stones again.
Yeah,
That's it. That's all you need to know about the present. We are not going to cover the present again in these 2 episodes.
Yeah, the present we're talking about is the 1970s, so it's still not present, but whatever.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah. So... that's that for the next these 2 episodes. That's all we see of Brianna. meanwhile, I guess let's do the far past first.
By the way, Brianna is crying over her bad wig. She is continuing to be in her bad wig phase, and I really, really hate that for her because she's a gorgeous woman.
She is a gorgeous woman. The wig is whatever. I don't really have any opinion on it. Anyway. Far past, Roger and William Mackenzie show up in the 1700s, and they're going to be searching for Jemmy. So yeah. What he always told Jemmy and taught him and his sister Mandy is to, like, stay away from the stones in case they, like, just happen to wander by, which is very smart of them. And
right, that attraction to the buzzing is going to be a thing.
And
the concern about it.
And so they... also taught them how to get home from the stones. So if they were ever in any need and they accidentally went back in time, they could still get home and meet somebody who's a relative of theirs in one century or another.
Right. So go to Lallybroch, basically. And this is how you get there on foot in case you need to get there on foot.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Roger and William Mackenzie land in the 1700s, they are assuming that they're going to be in the same time period that William Mackenzie left, or close to it.
The one where Claire and Jamie are.
Right, the one where Claire and Jamie are. They decide to split up, which, again, is like, why are we doing this? Oh, wait, I forgot. William Mackenzie starts to have a heart attack.
No, that's later.
When they come through the stones, right when they come through the stones, he starts to have a heart attack, and Roger's like, you got to get better, because
then he splits up.
And then they split
That's
up.
That's very irresponsible of you.
It is very irresponsible of him, but Roger says he's going to Lallybroch, and William Mackenzie's going to go to Inverness to see if Rob Cameron took Jemmy to get on a ship to go to the Americas. That's the plan. And so
in practice, what happens is Roger gets to Lallybroch and
knocks on the door.
Well, yes. And who shows up but Brian Fraser, not Jamie Fraser, who we thought it was going to be. No, no, no. It's his father.
Well, part of the reason I think it's for sure going to be Jamie, and like, it would be a surprise for Jamie. to be in Scotland at that point in time, because of course they're all thinking he's in America. But the way they do this, because Jamie and Claire and young Ian have gone to Lallybroch in their timeline, the way they intercut it is that there's a knock at the door in the timeline that Jamie's in. Jamie goes to open the door at the same time that Brian Fraser opens the door to Lallybroch to Roger. So it, you are faked out into thinking, oh, he's going to reunite with Jamie now.
I'm sorry, but if you've seen Blood of My Blood, there is no fucking way in hell that these two Bryans are the same person.
Oh, fuck no. No, Brian, Blood of My Blood is
Well, not that, just
hot.
that, but he's taller.
Yeah.
And he's just like built. And not to say that you can't let yourself go or like age
Oh, people do,
and
for sure.
whatever, that's fine. But it's just like, it just doesn't seem like facial structure
Yeah, not even
wise. That's
close.
just not
Yeah,
like,
this.
obviously they're not the same person, but like, come on,
Yeah,
man.
but yeah, the Brian that they have for Outlander has. Doesn't have a very structured face. It's very round. It's a he's very circular facial
It's your
structure.
dad. It's not like, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just, once you see Blood in My Blood, you're just like, how did we get from point A to point
From
B?
sharp cheekbones to this.
I mean, again, that's just could just be age. Either way,
Yeah, unlikely.
it really doesn't matter. I just brought it up, and
Okay.
so they he Roger starts like freaking the fuck out because he's just like, wait, he died before Claire even got to
Lollybrock. Oh
Lallybroch,
shit.
so something's wrong.
The way back times, and somewhere in the conversation, I didn't pick up on this, but Roger says we get a lot of Roger internal monologue,
Which is something we
becomes
haven't
more
gotten
and more
before.
hilarious as time goes on, and is like the only internal monologue I've liked at all.
It just,
So
I think what it does is it kind of brings you back to the first season where Claire's experiencing all these new things in an unfamiliar place. And so her inner monologue is just, it's her thoughts.
yeah, it's basically a reaction to what's actually happening, as opposed to I am
Some
narrating
philosophical
some big thing
bullshit.
about puddles, you know,
It's
like we
dumb.
don't care.
Meanwhile, we've got Roger just reacting like a normal human being from the 20th century and just
Right.
being like, what the fuck is going on here?
Right. So he's piecing together what time, what year this is
We find
from
out
the
it's.
conversation from Brian. And what he uses is that Jamie is off at university. And so it has to be 1739 or 1740.
It's 1739, we find out
Yes.
later. And he even meets a young Jenny who doesn't look anything like the young Jenny we've seen before.
Oh, it looks like the, right, but it looks like AI's new Jenny that we have as an actress.
Okay.
Yeah, like they smoothed out her wrinkles and stuff.
It doesn't matter really. And so they do that and they are asking around after Jemmy, but Jemmy hasn't been there, and they talk to, is his name George Murray? John Murray? Ian's dad.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, well, we saw this weird fairy guy, which is, we shouldn't be calling people that. But
But in those times, what they came
I'm
as like
aware of what it means.
magical
I was
powers.
making a joke. He is like, oh, we saw this weird guy, and he was just in the woods, and we kind of left him alone. But, and I'm not exactly sure who else saw him, but I can try to point you in the right direction. And Roger's like, okay. But then they get word from Jenny that William Mackenzie was taken ill. It's his heart, and Roger needs to pick him up on the way from, like, he was on the way to Lallybroch, started having a heart related event, and Roger needs to get him to a healer.
Right. And so, like, somewhere between Lallybroch and Inverness is where he's going to encounter William and take William to the healer. He gets an address for a healer. He shows up at the healer's, Roger does, knocks on the door while he's like basically supporting William Mackenzie. And who answers the door but, yes, the icon, the legend,
Gaylis
Gaylis Duncan.
Duncan.
We are thrilled.
We are, but they don't use her well.
Well, they do. They only use her a little bit. It's hard to suppress the gaylessness, though.
No, she's still a weird bitch, and I love her,
But she
but
still is coming on to random men, which she does
yeah.
with Roger, which is
Well, that's next
hilarious.
episode. That's Is
later.
it? Yes. That's the note where the episode ends. Oh
Oh, it's
no,
Gail.
that's not where it ends, but that's where it cuts for now.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So I guess we go to the past. Not the far past, but the past.
The
The
past.
1770s. So they get back to Scotland, they bury Uncle Fraser, Simon Fraser, and they go to Lallybroch. Jenny is a
New
different
actress.
actress.
We are not happy.
You're not happy.
I'm
I
not
don't think she's
happy.
that bad. I'm used to the other Jenny, so like when I saw her, I was like, oh, I'm not as emotionally invested in you.
Yeah, this Jenny, from a performance standpoint, is more like a Leary, like the way she her Scottish accent is, her facial grimacing, that kind of stuff is more like Leary to me. And I Jenny wasn't like what Jenny was a little more stalwart, the previous actress, I think. So
I also just think
whatever.
that she has a different job than the last Jenny, because the last Jenny, she kind of had like a roller coaster of emotions. We saw a lot of her. Meanwhile, she just has to be sad. And so it's just like, yeah.
And the sadness is because Big Ian is dying.
Yeah.
And so
I get the vibe that it's like tuberculosis or
it
something.
right. They call it consumption, and which of course is in our world what we think of as tuberculosis. And Claire says, you know, consumption was something that a lot of people had in the 30s and 40s, and we couldn't treat it, and it was sad. And I gather that if Again, if it's something that you catch early enough, it can be treated decently. But if you don't catch it early, you're basically screwed.
Yeah.
And the way this Jenny describes it, oh, he's had this cough since he got back from Culloden. It's like, that sounds kind of fucked up. But they've been at Lallyrock at various points since then. It's, you know, like Jamie was there for a while. I mean, like, we should have known this. If there was a constant cough for Big Ian, we should have known, and we didn't, which is weird.
Well, we know now, and he's
Yes,
dying.
and he's
So
dying.
the young Ian is reunited with his family. It's very
It is
sweet.
very sweet. And they all are like so curious about his time with the Mohawk and the
I
tattoos
mean,
on his
why wouldn't they
face.
be?
Oh yeah, they're just like, I mean, that's like the extra. I'm like, oh, you've been to the Americas, but like you lived with the Mohawk. That's pretty important.
Yeah, Big Ian immediately wants to talk about him, and he, I guess, in a letter, young Ian told him about the miscarriage that Emily had. And so, yeah, Big Ian's trying to like give him some peace about that. It's like, we've been through that too. It's really
Hard.
hard. But you will make it through, and there will be other people. And he tells him about Rachel, and he's very excited for him, and is just
Big
like, well,
Ian
we
is
don't
dead.
want you to stay too long because then a guy will snap her up. And
Yeah,
Youngie is like,
I love
oh.
this conversation though. So like he asked Jenny, he's like, well, have you told her you love her? And have you told her you want to marry her? He's like, well, I left her with my dog. He was like, all right, giving her a dog is not the same as saying I love you. Look at
Yeah.
the I have all over my notes. Rolo, the bestest boy.
He does not make an appearance, but he is mentioned.
He has mentioned multiple times, which is great.
Meanwhile, we've got Jamie, and Jamie wants to settle the unfinished business with Leary, essentially wanting to get out of the alimony.
Well, no, but what he wants to do is apologize, and of course, also see if she's like sleeping with somebody, in which case he could get out of the alimony. But you know, the biggest thing for him is like he wanted to apologize to her for being shitty, and it's kind of like, yeah, you were shitty to her, but she's not a good person. Like, you're not going to make her a good person by apologizing to her. You're not going to, and the wounds that she carries aren't just wounds from you. There's like other fuck shittery going on there.
Yeah, but he goes anyway, and she starts throwing things at him when he tries to apologize. And she has this weird moment of self-awareness before she starts throwing shit, of just like, you just took pity on me. And he's just like, well, and she just starts throwing
Well,
shit.
she also flat out asks him, the very first time you kissed me, you were already in love with Claire. And he's like, well, yeah. And so she's like, I thought you were in love with me all this time.
It's like,
I had
girl,
this
no.
whole elaborate illusion, apparently.
But either way, she, he, like the guy, the farmhand who she's clearly fucking, gets in, like intervenes in the fight, gets hit by Jamie, and she just like gets very defensive.
And she says, he needs me, unlike you.
And so Jamie leaves, and
Yeah.
he talks to Claire, and is just like, She said I pitied her, and Claire's like, well, yeah, you did. It's so funny seeing
But
Claire in this position of just like, but yeah, you should be self-aware enough to realize that that's what that was,
yeah,
right?
we all know what this
Both
was.
times that you were together with her, she was in a vulnerable position, and you not didn't take advantage, but you were trying to help her. So you did
But you
that
were,
in the way that you thought you could.
yeah, but you were trying to help her because you felt sorry for her, not because you're in love with her. And
Yeah.
there is a difference. And Jamie actually asks Claire, it's like, have you always been aware that I needed you? And she's like, I needed me desperately for the first time you saw me. And my first thought was, really, was that just the sexual thing? But no, when he first saw her, he had been injured as well. So he needed her on
Claire,
multiple
yeah,
levels. Multiple levels. Yeah, he needed
that's
Claire on
true.
multiple levels. So yeah.
Okay, so then we get this moment where Jenny releases her emotions in the woods by screaming. Jamie
Well, this
is,
is after Jenny has confronted Claire and said she has no
oh,
soul.
that,
Yeah,
yeah.
there's this whole discussion. Claire wants to tell the whole family that she's a time traveler and stuff. They, of course, don't understand this concept in a non-magical way. Like they see her as being someone who probably practices magic, is a witch, and things like that. She tries to explain that that's not what this is. I just have knowledge because I lived in the future for a long time.
And Big Ian's like, yeah, makes sense. And young Ian has already accepted this. He's known for a little bit. And the other sons are just like, okay. Meanwhile, Jenny is just like, well, this is our opportunity. You can heal him. And it's just like, no, I can't. If I could, I would.
Right, but
But
Claire's other rationale for doing this is one of the other sons, Michael, is doing business in France, and he's going to be living in France and all this other stuff, and they're all like, yeah, we're not going to go and work with
don't be there for
America.
the revolution
And
and
well, right,
stuff.
so that's why Claire wants them to know, like, in 10 years there's going to be a revolution in France, and it's going to be way worse than anything that happens in America, so you need to not be there.
Yeah, that would be really, really bad, especially if you're any part of the bourgeoisie or in any contact, really.
Really,
You could
it's
just
just
be a
really bad for
casualty.
quite some
Yeah,
time.
so they. Jenny starts freaking out that Claire can't do it, and she thinks it's because Claire won't do it, but Claire keeps telling her, no, I just can't. I don't have the equipment to help him. I don't have that, and I would if I could, but Jenny's just like, and you don't have a soul,
Yeah, it's like,
and
all right,
storms off.
no.
She makes amends for this later, so I'm not going to. It was spoken in desperation and anger, but still. Still hurtful. So Jenny's screaming out her feelings. Jamie's just like, and she's just afraid of life without her husband. And you know all the
Which is
feelings that you
understandable.
feel for during grief or pre-grief even. Honestly, pre-grief can be harder.
Yeah, that whole
And
anticipatory everything is awful.
especially like when you know it's going to happen, that's even sadder sometimes. But he comforts her. That's very sweet. So Claire gets this letter, and it is probably the dumbest thing I've
Ever,
ever heard.
ever
And
in this
I'm
show, and there's a
sure
lot of dumb shit in the show.
I've mentioned this in the podcast before. I know I've like cited it as something's fucking stupid, but I just want you guys to know how dumb this is, because she gets a letter that has been like forwarded and like rerouted so many times, first of all, by Lord John Grey. His nephew was injured in the war with 2 shots to the abdomen, and it is like the musket balls are stuck in like the intestinal area.
Yes.
And which, first of all, you're
Should be
fucked.
fatal. I mean, and I might talk about it more in the next episode just because I have some third-hand knowledge of what this kind of surgery entails, and like there is no way this guy would survive for as long as he does.
Honestly, we could just say he should be dead, period, end of sentence. And
Yeah.
so,
He should be dead like within hours of these injuries
not that
because
we
of blah
want
blah
him
blah.
dead, but that's just unreasonable. Because
Especially in this
even,
time
yeah, I was about to
period.
say, even now, that would be like, you're dead. Back then,
Well,
it's way worse.
yeah. Yes.
But either way, had two shots to the abdomen, and Lord John Grey is like, please, Claire, this
Only you should do
note
the surgery.
took 3 months to get to you. Now, can you please sail on a ship for what was it, six, 5, 6 weeks?
More like
All the
8 weeks, yeah.
way back to America, to Philadelphia, to be precise, and treat and do a surgery on him. And
And he'll be fine till then.
she's like, okay, not thinking once that maybe it's too late.
Yeah.
But she's like, but Jamie knows her and is just like, yeah, no, you should go. But
And Jenny's kind of like, get the fuck out of here. I mean,
no, Jenny
she
apologizes.
apologizes, but she's like, hey, if you can at least fix him, go fix your friend.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not exactly graceful in her giving permission, but
She
young
doesn't need
Ian
to give
also.
permission either.
Well, I mean, it's not permission. It's more like Claire saying, look, I should stay until Ian, Big Ian, dies. And Jenny's like, no, if you can do some good somewhere, go do it. Young Ian also thinks he should stay. And Big Ian is like, I want you to go get your woman. Go get your woman. And but this is how sweet it is. This is what Outlander does really, really well.
Are we
So
talking about Jenny?
no, we're talking
No,
about
before that, Jenny takes young Ian to the graveyard at
oh
Lallybroch,
yeah.
and she shows him a headstone for his miscarried daughter, who he had already named. And she points it out to him, and she's just like, I just thought that you would have wanted a place for her to be with her family. And it's such a sweet moment. And
Yeah.
it really it this I will let me just go on a very quick tangent of how far the actor of young Ian has come.
Oh
He's
yeah.
fan fucking tastic in this
Yeah, he
episode.
is.
And he just brings such raw emotion to those moments where he's talking about his like miscarried daughter and all that stuff. And they bring it up way more than Claire and Jamie's miscarriage, which we'll get to at the end of the season, unfortunately. But this moment with Jenny and young Ian is such a sweet moment where she's just like, you will always be with us, much like your young daughter will always be with us in our hearts, but you need to go. Your father wants you to live your life and not just to be like hanging around waiting for his death.
Right.
And so young
Which
Ian's
is
going to
good
go with
advice.
Claire. Jamie's going to stay for reasons. I understand to a certain degree that it's his best friend and he wants to stay by his side. I think that there's a lot of merit to that. However, it still doesn't make a whole lot of sense
No, but there's this
logistically.
tiny tangential thing that we kind of skipped
Joni.
over, which is Joanie, which is Larry's daughter. Basically goes to Jamie and is like, look, you gotta fix my mom. She's fucked up and I want to go to the convent and she won't let me.
Which is such a bizarre thing to not let your child
Yeah,
do.
but part of the negotiation about the alimony is you gotta let Joni go to the convent. I'll let you have a life estate in the property you're living in. We'll call it even.
And you can marry the farmhand. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, which, yeah, okay, whatever.
So that's
But he's
Leary's tangent.
right.
I'll
But part of Jamie
cut it.
staying is his plan is to stay and take care of Big Ian and then go and see Joni en route to going back to America. Why he has to go to Paris first, I don't know. That makes some sense, but
Yeah,
still.
I don't know how much time he thinks is going to pass, but it clearly a lot of time does. So he is going to stay behind, and so Claire and young Ian are leaving. They're
No.
packing things up, getting ready to go on the little cart to Inverness to get on a ship.
And Big Ian comes outside, which he hasn't been, it's really
He hasn't
weird.
even been able to go upstairs to his bedroom.
Yeah, but he comes outside, goes down the stairs to say goodbye, and he like limps all the way out to the gate and waves at them. It's the sweetest thing. He is the
It
best.
makes me cry.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Because, first of all, I love Big Ian. Big Ian has
Yeah, he's a good
always been a
character.
favorite character of mine.
Yeah.
But this send off for him, I think, is very apt and I think it's very sweet.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think that the stuff next episode is also fine. It's also good. However, I feel like that could have been added to this episode, and I wouldn't have minded. I think they just needed to have Jamie in the episode next episode so that he could at least have some screen time so he could be in every episode.
Maybe that's it. I think that's probably true.
I think
We
that's
have
I think it's
discussed
probably
the
part of the
fact that,
contract or
right,
something.
I think there are things in the contracts about these actors being in every episode, but whatever. In any case, that it's very, very sad.
It's very
And
sweet.
they do a great job with that. And that's the end of the episode, or that in combination with the other thing with Galus is the end of the episode. So what were your best parts?
Oh yeah, Galus is the last note. Why was she the last note when that goodbye is so perfect? Typical Outlander.
Outlander fucked around with stuff. Yeah.
So best parts, Big Ian. I love Big Ian. I will always love Big Ian. I am slightly glad that I will not have to say Big Ian anymore, and I could just say Ian. I will still say Young Ian, but it's nice to have the option. Jamie and Claire, I actually kind of like them in this episode. I think that they are back to form of like Jamie being a little clueless and Claire just being like, "Well, yeah," and I do like those kinds of talks with them. I like the banter in those kinds of talks.
Well, and yeah, and there's some funny stuff where Claire's kind of like, I'll kill you if you're like get involved with Lear or
Right.
something.
Yeah, it's cute little banter like that that brings me back to that where they're not taking things super, super seriously. Where I think that there's enough seriousness in this episode that I'm glad that they like had some levity in the other like subplots, like Roger's random outbursts in his head of he sees Brian is just like, aren't you dead? Why aren't you dead? And meanwhile, yeah. Joanie, I like Joanie sticking up for herself. I liked her a lot when we met her. We met her
In
before this, but I
Brianna's,
really liked her in Brianna's episode
yeah,
in
I
season
still think
four.
this actress would be amazing in Green Gables,
She would.
in my opinion.
Jenny, after she cools down, I like her. I like her moment with young Ian a lot, and I think it's very sweet of her to just be like, go live your own life. Young Ian, I again, this actor is doing a wonderful job, and I think that I don't know, he's just great. The goodbye to Big Ian is very sweet, makes me cry. And Galus, icon, legend, queen,
Yep. All right. So,
insane person.
yeah. So my best part is Big Ian, of course. I think he's fantastic. He is the best. Rolo mention, love that. Young Ian, I think is fantastic in this episode. I
He
just think
really
he's
is.
really, really great. I like Galus. I like Joanie. I actually like Claire and Jamie in this. I think it must be for the same reasons because they are. It's not all I love you, 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 I love you stuff. There is some retrospective, but it is intrinsic to the plot as opposed to just tacked on to whatever else is happening. It's like, hey, I'm churning butter in North Carolina. Let's talk about how I love you. It's like, no, no.
Churning butter.
I mean? Like they just randomly throw these things on there, whereas
You
you
know
are.
that you're my sudden stars. You know that this is like just
Exactly.
while churning
It's
butter. The shit Outlander does. Milking your cow.
ridiculous.
You know that you're everything to me. It's like so stupid.
Insane.
Saddling a horse. It's, oh,
I love you. I love you. I love you.
it's just
All right. So, what were your worst parts?
dumb. Leery.
Oh my God, all caps, Leery.
Like, I love that she's becoming a little bit more self-aware. However, don't start throwing shit at him for not loving you.
Or
You are
threatening.
you've
She
also
threatens
moved
stuff
on,
to
haven't
him.
you? You've moved on. You're getting alimony. You're sleeping with a cute guy. Like, girl, calm the fuck down. Your life could be way worse.
Yeah, what are you bitching about? Like, why are you still holding on to something from when you were 16 years old? You're an adult with adult children. What the fuck is wrong with you? I don't know. It's just all of it's dumb. I'm
And then
sorry.
William McKenzie was purely made just for Roger to have someone to talk to, even though Roger spends most of his dialogue in her monologue. It's like,
Right, because
what was the point
William's
of,
not
I didn't know initially, like when I was first watching this, that he was going to have any inner monologue, let alone this much. And
there. Right.
so the fact that he has that and he has William McKenzie to talk to makes no fucking sense to me. William McKenzie is such a superfluous character. I don't think I will ever be sold on him. It's nothing against the actor. It's just dumb.
Indeed. Indeed. So, yeah, Leary, of course, you are leaving out the stupid fucking time shit with that letter.
Oh, that. Oh,
That is
God.
like one of the worst things they have done in recent memory. It is so incredibly dumb. It is so out of pocket. And it just, ugh. Ugh, Outlander, come on, do better. Like, your one thing is time and you're fucking
Your
around
one
with
thing is
time.
time and a little bit of realism
Yeah.
when it comes to doctor shit. Like, people die, patients die constantly, even just from like sepsis or like stuff like that. So, even
Right.
if you have a successful surgery, you never know. However, now you're just doing shit.
Yeah, now you're just doing stuff that makes no sense. So, what grade did you give this?
I gave it a B.
I gave it a B also. Interesting.
I just we're
Yeah,
back on track a little bit for me, like in a major way. Like, emotionally, we're back on track. We have a little bit of humor from Roger. We've got Galus back. We've got for however long we get her.
there.
And Claire and Jamie didn't want me to like didn't make me want to like scoop my eyes out with fucking spoons. But not because of anything the actors did, it's just the writers have gotten so lazy with so many fucking love confessions that I want to die.
I agree.
But in this episode, they're fine. And Big Ian's amazing. And Jenny, even though she was recast, is still a great emotional center for young Ian to bounce off of. And
Yeah, I didn't think she was that great. That's why I didn't include her in either a best or worst part. But I just
yeah.
didn't think she was, I th felt like she was there.
Okay. I like that she ripped up the letter that young Ian was going to send to Rachel of like, we can't be together. It's just like, fuck that, dude. Jesus
No, you're
Christ. You're
going
so
back.
dramatic.
Yeah, he was being really stupid.
Yes.
But whatever.
Yes. So let's get into season
Season.
7, episode 10, Brotherly Love
It's
with.
in the city of brotherly love, but there's also some brotherly
Oh, is
love.
that what that was about?
Partly.
Well, I see.
Because Claire's back in Philadelphia, but it's also about the brotherly love between
Young Ian, sorry, Big Ian and
and
Jamie.
Jimmy.
But
Yes.
I thought it was mostly focused on that. I'm just like, that is such like a tenth of the episode. Like,
I
so
think they're talking
pointless.
about the Philadelphia part of it. Just
Great.
saying. So there are a number of different storylines here. We probably should talk about Rogers first because it's short.
Yes.
So,
Because we don't see Brianna.
but we do get to hear the voice in his head, which is great. It's great. So Roger had knocked on the door, and Galus Duncan answers the door, and they go in, and Galus it starts to try to treat William. And she's like, have I met you before? And this inner monologue that Roger has is like, that's your son.
Well, I would hope so. That's your fucking son. It's like, Roger, he has not been born yet. You cannot blame Galus for not recognizing her
She's
son.
clearly feeling some sort of weird connectivity with him.
Yeah.
And so there are also people who have been told to go look for Jemmy and the ferryman that they say they think might be around that has been described as having a short jacket and long pants. Like they're thinking that's Rob Cameron. Roger is convinced that Galus knows who Rob Cameron is. Just like, she's all into fairy stuff and going through the stones. And he tells William, like, hey, this is Leia I was telling you about that went through the stones before me and Brianna did, and he's like, oh, the one with the blood sacrifice. Oh, wow, like she's awful. And then he starts talking about like how many husbands she's had, five, and killed them. And
Five is crazy. Like,
that's a high number.
it is a very high number, but I'm also just thinking about like who are they? I know of
So there's
two
one
or
in
three.
Scotland,
Yeah,
before
the
she
judge or
leaves.
whatever.
No, this is before
Oh,
she leaves. So
yeah.
that
That,
there's the judge that she
yeah.
kills. Well, she doesn't kill Dougal, they never get married. But there was at least one or two in Jamaica.
There was at least one in
At
Jamaica.
least one in
And then I
Jamaica.
guess there are two more. I
Yeah.
don't
Killed
know.
some people. Galus,
Yeah.
the icon, the legend. And so
The Black Widow.
for whatever reason, Roger's like, he goes into another room and Galus comes to the other room with him and she's like, so hey. She starts
You
hitting
look
on Roger. You
familiar.
look familiar, mate. Do I know you? And he's like, I don't think so. And she's like, well, And he says, "I'm married." And she's like, "So am I. It doesn't make that much of a difference." He's like, "It does to me."
Good job,
Where did I
Jennifer.
find
Even
her?
if we aren't going to get to see Brianna,
For
at
a
least
long
you're
time.
defending.
Yes. And so he starts hinting around, like, "Hey, I'm, do you know this Rob Cameron guy?" And she's like, "Never heard of him." And he's kind of like, "Well, I'm trying to figure out, like, who this person might be and how can I find out and whatever." And he goes back into the room where William is, and Dougal Mackenzie shows up. He's like,
Get Graham McTavish back, and yet this is what they do with him. He comes in for like two lines and then walks off with Galas to imply sex. Okay,
Yeah,
fine.
I mean, it looks like this is the first time they are meeting.
Yes,
Dougal and Galas are meeting,
that is the vibe I'm getting.
and it's kind of like, ooh, yay.
But what he does, he does serve an actual plot purpose
Yes.
where he also has heard about the fairy guy, and he found like a silversmith or something or other,
Tinker.
one off of the guy dog tags from the First World War.
Second World War.
Second? Okay. Second World War. And one of them. And so he gives them to Roger, and Roger recognizes them because they have the name Jeremiah Mackenzie on them. So they're his dad's.
Yeah.
So he's like,
And he
oh
knows it's
shit.
like RAF on it. It's like, oh my God, this is my dad's dog tags. Oh my, he's the fairy guy. And he had disappeared in combat.
And he's like, okay, I've been wondering why we were sent to this time. I was looking for Jemmy, but it's sending me to another Jeremiah Mackenzie, my dad. That's who we're looking for now. And I'm just like, you're forgetting so quickly about your son. Like, I am so sorry. And we do find out like stuff about Jemmy later, not this episode, but like in future episodes about like what's going on with him.
But
But
the whole time we're kind of like, what
he's
about
so
your?
excited about like, hey, my dad might be alive. It's like, yeah, that's great, but what about your son? What
Yeah,
about
exactly. You need to take
your son
care of
who was kidnapped
who is a
and
child.
presumably taken through the stones and is only like, what, 10
Right. I mean,
at
he's a
most?
child as opposed to your dad who has combat, experience. So,
And seems to have gotten far enough to gamble with people or whatever.
Yeah, he
Like,
seems to be like succeeding or at least stable.
and so now that's his new mission to find his dad. And it's
It's
like,
kind of
great.
like, no. I mean,
Okay.
it's interesting, certainly, as a twist. And of course, this show, the universe continues to expand with characters and everything else. And it gets a little frustrating to me.
This side plot for me, and I don't remember all of the elements to it, but this side plot never really made much sense to me, and
No.
I've never really cared much for this side plot.
And they got to tie all this shit up in season 8 because it doesn't get tied up in season 7. Spoiler.
I don't remember,
Well, I mean, okay, like the what actually happens to his dad as far as timelines and time travel and all that stuff does not get fully resolved. Like, we don't get a happily ever after or anything else. We don't know what happens to his dad beyond a couple of things that happen in a couple of episodes in season 7.
See, I don't remember any. I blocked out a lot of this subplot because it seems
Because it
so
goes nowhere.
random.
Yes.
And I think this was maybe a soft launch for Blood of My Blood being like, well, what if the parents of some of the characters we know also went back in time? And that's why we don't know what happened to them. It's like, okay. It works in Blood of My Blood just fine for me, but for
This
this,
is the
it.
same sort of issue there.
What?
This has the same sort of issue though.
Yeah, but it's. See, for Blood of My Blood, they at least like had the excuse of like this. They died in a car accident. As far as people know, that's what happened. So, whatever. And.
No, but Roger's dad died what they thought in a plane
Well,
crash
he was missing an
in the
action.
world, or was missing an action in the world, and they never found a body.
Yeah, but that also doesn't really change the fact that he doesn't have a mom, but. It's just, she also
Mom
died
died
in the
in
war.
childbirth. No, she died in childbirth.
Was it childbirth?
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, I don't really care about Roger's dad, let me put it that way, because I've never really felt the need to know anything more. Like, we
Other
knew
with the
Reverend Wake.
characters we have.
We knew Reverend Wakefield just fine enough. He was a father figure to him, and that's really all we needed to know. He was the one who taught him a lot and raised him, essentially. And not to say that it's not important to Roger as a character to figure that out for himself of like, hey, this is the deal with my dad, but I don't know. It just feels weird and just so side questy that I'm just like, what about your child? And aren't we th because that's what we've been building to. We have not been wondering what's going on with Roger's dad this entire time. So bringing it up randomly and making that a side quest for him doesn't really make much sense. Meanwhile, we've got Brianna who's worried sick at home and we don't
And
get
you
to see
have a
her.
child that you're supposed to be taking care of. So, anyway, that is basically the end of the Roger story, right? Yes.
For this
For
episode,
this
yes.
episode, yes. So let's move on
Let's
back.
do Jamie first.
Yeah, that's super quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Jamie talks to Big Ian, and they have a flashback actually at the very beginning of this. It's very Game of Thrones to me, where he's learning to fight with Big Ian and his dad, Big
Big
Ian's
Ian's
dad.
dad,
And
Mr.
they,
Murray.
yes, and so they're fighting, and they don't work as a team, like. Yeah, they need to be a united front is what his dad
Like
says.
fight like brothers.
Yes, and he tells Big Ian, "Hey, you've always got to guard his left side because that's his weakest, and you've got to always guard your chieftain, and because that's who Jamie was essentially. Like he was kind of higher up, and he what could have inherited, but
Well, he did inherit.
kind of
He did inherit, then he ran
Oathbreaker, yes, but
away.
Mackenzie
Oh, right, yeah.
was what I was referring to. But so they do that, and they're talking. Big Ian and Jamie are talking on a cliffside, just looking over Scotland and reminiscing, and just being like, "Yeah, well, I'm sure I'm okay with Claire being whatever the hell she is because that." Proves to me that miracles exist, and I'm excited for paradise. I'm looking forward to seeing what the next life has to bring, and well, not looking forward to, but like just kind of accepting what the next life has to bring. And he's basically come to peace with it, and so Jamie carries him back to bed, and Big Ian is holding Jenny's hand and Jamie's hand as he is slowly dying.
And
He's like
he,
taking his final breaths. He says, "On your left," which is it just reminded me
yeah,
of
he's
Captain
Captain
America,
America, yeah,
unfortunately.
me too.
But it was very sweet and
Appropriate,
it did
yes.
make me emotional to Jamie. And then he says, "Jenny," I think he says, "I love you," but
I don't think he says, I
he
think he
just
just
says,
said
"Jenny,"
Jenny.
and like holds her hand. And
Yeah.
then he dies.
That was
And
very sad.
yes. And then
And
Jamie,
digs the grave.
yeah, by himself, because of course he did.
And invites Jenny to go to the Americas with him. And she's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. This is my spot. I might do it someday, but not now. And Jamie explains what his plan is and he's going back to Philadelphia. That's it.
And now
So
we go to
now we get.
Philadelphia.
Some of this is okay, actually. There's some
I actually
actually
like quite
good
a bit
stuff.
of
Yeah,
this.
I do too. So Claire gets back. They go to a house that is owned by Mercy. What's her last name? I can't
I
remember.
think, isn't it Woodcock or something?
Yeah, something like that. And she's African American. And of course, because of the way the world is, Claire has assumed that she doesn't own the house, but it is her house, and she's been caring for
The nephew.
Henry Gray, and Lord John Gray is like, great, let's do some surgery, and Claire's like,
Yes,
well,
we get
I
to see
can't do.
Lord John
He's
Grey.
looking younger. I think he may have had surgery.
Why do you always assume it's
I
surgery?
don't, because that's the way
He's
actors
looking
are.
good.
But he has bought up all of the stuff to make ether, so that she can do the surgery. She runs into, because apparently, Nah,
Denzel.
Denzel, thank you. Denzel's been treating Henry and was able to get one of the musket balls out, but you couldn't get the other out, and he's still not recovering. He's not doing well. He doesn't eat very much. He's very thin. Henry is. So Denzel is going to help, create a still so that they can make either, which they do in like record time, apparently. Again, time show does not actually honor time. And so Claire, she does the surgery. During this time, young Ian is saying, I'm going to get a horse and go to Valley Forge because I know that's where Rachel is.
He does not know. He assumes that's where Rachel is.
But he had heard that people were still stationed there, and so she must be there, which
But
is not
actually, in
true.
reality,
She's in Philadelphia
she's
at
in
the
Philadelphia with
market.
William and
Rollo,
Rollo.
the bestest
And William's
boy.
just like, why is Rollo here? And she's just like, he does what he wants. And he wants to be by
By
my
my
side.
side, because yeah.
And it's clear William's trying to flirt with her, and she's being nice to him, but she's not like flirting back. And
Yeah,
we
she's
know
just like, oh, here,
why.
carry my basket. That's nice.
Because Rollo starts running off, and she assumes, oh,
Oh,
he'd only do that for one
it's Ian.
person,
And
it's
he
Ian.
starts to chase after him, which
But
is
loses him in the crowd, and then we see that Mr. Bug is watching her. And so we find out, like, William later on, William and Rachel have not found Rollo and are waiting for the results of the surgery. The surgery goes well, and William and Rachel discuss the fact that the finding's going to start again soon, and then they're going to be on opposite sides of the war again. And
And she's like, well, yeah, I respect that you have kept your oath because I don't like oath breakers. Breaking an oath is not a good thing. I respect that you are still a soldier because that means you've kept your oath. And he says to her, well, Rollo is probably back at your apartments. So we can go there, or you can go there. I'll walk you part of the way. So he goes to walk her back to where she is staying with Denzel. And she goes to the stable. And in the stable, she is attacked by Mr. Bug, who has come up from
wherever the fuck
where
he
the
was.
manure, because that's where he belongs.
And he's like holding her at like knife point or
Yeah,
axe
he's like,
point.
I'm going to, yeah, it's like a hatchet. I'm going to kill you, but I'm going to kill you in front of Ian Murray, because I want him to see you die, like I saw my wife die.
And he's planning to leave Ian alive so that he lives with what he sees.
Right.
Okay.
Meanwhile, young Ian, goes to the actual apartment. He talks to Denzel, and now Denzel says, like, oh, she's out with the horses right now in the stable. Why don't you go see? So Ian goes to see, and
And what he sees
he is
is
like,
Mr. Bug holding her at hatchet point, and he freaks the fuck out and starts fighting him. And he gets like slashed in the arm with the hatchet. And just when Mr. Bug is about to like have the advantage over him, like he's on top of him, like pummeling him or whatever, holding the hatchet up to kill him, which Rachel's doing nothing, which is one of my pet peeves. Let me just discuss this
Yeah,
really quick.
women on the sidelines doing nothing.
I'm okay with a situation like this where it's like you're defending your woman, whatever. But like if the girl doesn't do anything to like stop the
Assist.
violence or assist in some way, I lose a bit of respect for her.
Right. I mean, especially the position that they're in. Like, you can tackle this guy and get him off
You
of
can
Ian.
grab the hatchet and pull.
It's not like he's standing there with the gun and his finger on the trigger, like
Yeah,
where
that
something
would
could
be
go wrong. It's
different.
different.
A
But anyway,
hatchet is more of a manual weapon that you have
like
to
if you
actually
push
use.
him over, he will be off of Ian, and Ian can get up and defend himself. You know,
And
those
this
kind of
guy's
things.
old. He's not gonna have the
Yeah.
reflexes to like turn it on you. So that's perfect. Just
Right. It's
push.
just dumb, but
And
no.
for example, like my biggest pet peeve, that biggest example of that pet peeve is in Princess Bride
Yeah.
when they're in the fucking fire swamp, the Buttercup's just like, Wesley,
There's an
look.
ROUS over there. It's like, oh,
It's
come
like,
on.
girl, do something.
Yeah, she just sits there and screams, and she's
Ugh.
really annoying.
Annoying.
Anyway, so in this moment, Mr. Bug is about to hatchet young Ian to death when William shoots him, which is
It's a good
great.
shot.
It is an excellent shot, as people are in this show. But I would point out the thing that we forgot, which is right before Rachel goes to the
She doesn't want
stable.
violence.
No. William says to her, "I have something to ask you, but it can wait," which, we all know what this is. And so, he tells her to take young Ian to Claire, and he's going to manage everything. He's like, I'll be protected with the Brits, and I'll be fine because I'm sitting here in my uniform. So she
And
does.
I have privilege.
I have privilege.
Yeah.
And I'm a Lord John. Well, no, well, I'm my own cat lord. And so she does. And Ian finally says, he's like, "Well, I love you. I said so." And she's like, "Not in any language I understand." And he's like, "All right, fine, I did it in Mohawk."
I still said it. It's just like, but you need to actually communicate with me.
Exactly.
It's like, this is a really random example, but I'm pretty sure in 50 Shades of Grey,
My
Christian
God.
tells Anastasia while she's sleeping about his backstory with his mom being a drug addict, and then later on it blames her for not knowing.
Yeah, it's like, what
That's
the fuck, dude?
stupid.
He's asleep.
Yeah, that shit of like not communicating and then being like, but I said it. It's like, but you didn't say it in a way I understood it, or you didn't say it at all.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly. If it is not communicated to me, it's not communicated to me.
yeah, so
So.
he does eventually say that, and she's like, you are my wolf. You are loyal, and you are amazing.
And that's great. And is that everything? Let me look.
No, it's not.
Oh God. Oh. Yes. So there's on this show is poor, and this is part of it. So
Oh my
Claire,
God.
Mercy has been acting as a spy for the Continental Army, and she's been passing information via encrypted note. She is nearly caught, and so Claire takes it over for her. But Claire sucks at it because, everyone sees her putting stuff into this little birdhouse or whatever. But Claire takes over Mercy's job as a spy, and she's about to be caught. She comes back to the house, and actually, there's a small conversation between her and Mercy. And of course, the tininess of this universe, Mercy was Walter. If you remember Walter from the first half of season 7, was the really good guy who had his leg amputated and died. She is Walter's wife, and it's very sad. But it also frees her up to be interested in Henry Gray, the patient. Again, tiny universe, way too many characters. It's a problem. Claire comes back. Lord John Grey has gotten a letter. Oh, no, I'm sorry. There's a guy who comes to report that the ship that Jamie was on, Jamie has sent a letter saying, "Hey, I'm coming back on X ship from Brest. And I should be there in a couple of weeks." And that ship has, gone under. It is lost at sea, and no one survived. And the person who brings this information saw the ship go down, so he's like, "Yeah, no, everybody died." And then he has the copy of the ship's manifest that showed that Jamie was on there. And Claire goes into a not so sexy French depression, which everybody understands. She's crying. She's very, very upset. She's like in her room for days without talking to people or eating or anything else. Lord John Grey keeps, trying to coax her out, and she won't. But before the end of this episode, the guy who was running spies, who was running William as a spy or whatever for the British, comes to arrest Claire because he's like, "Oh yeah, we got evidence and it's Claire." And he's like, I want to make sure she's not related to you or anything, right? She's just staying here. Great, we're gonna arrest her in a little while." And Lord John Grey's like, but you can't. And so he says, "Give me 24 hours." And so he goes, after the spy guy leaves, he goes upstairs to Claire. He's like, "You gotta marry me. You gotta marry me right now." And she's like, "No, I don't. Maybe they'll just kill me and I can be with Jamie and it'll be fine." And he's like, "But they're gonna come after your family. And that's not fair to them. We've got to protect all of them. We're gonna marry each other. And it's the one thing I can do for Jamie's memory." And she's like, "All right, I guess so." That's pretty much the end of the episode.
I would just like to say
And I put
that
all this fucking bullshit.
Lord John Grey has really gotten around the Fraser
I'm sorry.
clan.
He's so happy.
Let's recap. He's in love with Jamie.
Yes. For decades now.
He was devastated when he found out about the death.
Yes.
And then he actually did announce an engagement to Brianna.
Correct.
And now he's fucking marrying Claire.
Yes.
Crazy work. I know he's doing all, he did the things with Brianna and Claire for honorable reasons,
Right.
but still, it's insane if you think about it. And then he's
Yes.
also raising Jamie's child.
Yes, his child by this woman that he should never have been having sex with
Oh,
and
it's
had sex with
crazy
anyway.
work. It's crazy work. It just gets messier and messier. So,
So, what were your best parts of this episode?
Ian, I love Big Ian, and him being by Jamie's side at the end makes sense. Jamie, I like him being there for Ian. Lord John Grey. I know he's a messy bitch, but he is doing what he feels like. Because
He's a noble guy.
his, like, a red coat guy comes in and is just like, "Are you associated with this woman in any way?" And he was like, "I mean, kind of. Like, she's a friend's widow now." And he's just like, "Oh, good. All right. So I don't feel bad about arresting her. I'll give you a day just to, like, whatever." And so he's just like, "Oh, well, if she is a part of something, then I need to save her and help her," which is very kind of him.
Except that, how does that really protect Claire? It really doesn't. She could still be arrested for being a spy. So, and of course, it would also expose you, Lord John Grey. So
Much like
this is
William
very
in this
dumb.
episode, he assumes that he is above the law.
I
So,
guess so.
Rolo, he's the bestest
I
boy.
have Roland in all caps as my first thing is the bestest boy.
Roger and his inner monologue is so funny.
Yeah.
So funny. Graham McTavish, welcome back, dude.
Yes.
William, I like William
Which
helping.
William? Which William are we talking about?
Definitely not fucking
There you
Mackenzie.
go.
Wee Willie.
Wee Willie.
I love him shooting Mr. Bug and helping Rachel and young Ian out. And
Yeah.
Rachel and Ian, I like them. They're cute.
Yeah. So my best part's Rolo, of course, in all caps because Rolo's fucking awesome. Young Ian, great. Love him. I do like Rachel in this. Rachel is also getting mentioned. Wee Willie gets a mention. LJG. Roger's interior monologue, which I find completely hilarious. It is so funny.
Interior model.
Yes, his interior monologue,
Internal model.
whatever. It echoes like it's in an interior, so it's an interior
It does
monologue.
kind of, yeah.
Mercy, I really love. She's
Mercy.
really
Yeah, I like
great.
her a lot.
I love Denzel, actually, I think is really good
Oh,
in
yeah, he's
this.
great too.
And Dougal and Gayla's hooking up. I love that. That's great. Love the flashback, flash forward, all the Dougal and Gayla's, very funny.
Yeah, that is funny. I love
All
that.
right, what were your worst parts?
Mr. Bug, fuck you, man.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. Get over yourself.
Oh my God,
I know that
Dougal.
you're mourning your wife who was trying to shoot Jamie. So in retaliation and self-defense, young Ian killed her. That sucks, dude. That really does suck. However, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, Rachel literally asked us, like, why? Like, you could do this in so many less violent ways. And he's just like, "No, this is all I've got left." And she's like, "You're gonna get hanged for this." And he's just like, "Yeah, but then I'll be with my wife." And she's just like, "I don't support suicide. However, maybe you should just figure out a different way to let out your anger."
Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, you think that retaliation isn't honorable?" And she's like, "Correct."
Yeah, you're right. I don't.
Yes.
But yeah, and Jamie fake out death. The fact that the
Yeah.
Outlander writers have the audacity to even make us consider that this is real is so fucking funny because there's no way in hell on the second episode. This is the exact same problem as last season.
Yes.
Sorry, the beginning of this season when
Correct,
they
when they
had
blow
the
up the
blow up
house.
house. It is literally the second episode, and you're expecting me to believe that these main characters are dead?
Yeah, these
No!
main characters, and we've got seven more, six more episodes to go. No, I don't think so. No one
Not a chance
believes it. It
in
is
hell.
bullshit. And then
Not a
you know they're gonna do
chance.
this shit in season eight, too. There are
They
10
spend.
episodes in season eight, Natalie.
I know. And but also, I
God.
believe that at least in the first half of season seven, they don't wallow in it for a while. The next episode, you find out, oh, yeah, no, they're alive. They're fine. But in
Oh.
this, we wallow in it and we get flashbacks. And it's just like, you're
And you
really
have
treating it
sexy
like
French
it's real. And
depression.
it's just like so clear it's not. Like,
So annoying.
no.
It's so annoying. Is that everything?
That's all I wrote
All
down.
right,
Oh,
so
the bullshit with the surgery.
yeah, no, I'm gonna talk about that at some length. You don't have to.
Great.
Mr. Bug, number one. The Brits in general, this whole like
Oh, yeah.
they're like kind of bullshit about like not searching women or thinking women are like a threat or whatever. It's a little weird. And then of course, like, hey, we're just gonna arrest, you know, Claire for no reason. But Jamie fake out death, hate it. The surgery shit. Now I am gonna talk about this for a second because they show a lot of the surgery, which involves there's a perforated intestine. Now, I had a case where someone got shot in the abdomen. This was in the 19, I'm sorry, in the early 2000s. And I because of the nature of the case, there were a lot of emergency room doctors that I had to talk to and learn a lot from. They had to testify in this case to explain why it is that this person could not be saved. And so what had happened, what they explained to me is that surgery, you lose a lot of blood when you have an abdominal injury. So you're losing a ton of blood into the abdominal cavity. And into the torso in general. So there are huge amounts of blood loss. There's also a really high risk of infection because you perforated the intestine, which often has some fecal matter and other stuff in it. So if you don't get into surgery and it isn't done like just right up front, like within hours of the injury, those people get lost a lot. A lot of those patients die. So the idea that this particular patient who had two musket balls, one of which ended up getting removed, and it's not really clear how, because the way Denzel talks about it, he's like, he didn't open them up, so how did this happen?
Yeah, unclear.
It's very unclear. But the likelihood of dying at least from an infection by this time, super freaking high. And blood loss and all the other stuff because they show the injuries got like it's like 2 inches of perforated intestine. Like this guy should certainly have been dead. And for reasons that are completely illogical, a bit part of the show, is not. And months and months and months later. So ridiculous. I hate it, is stupid. The marriage shit. Like again, I mentioned this very briefly, but like, why in the hell would marrying Lord John Grey solve your criminal legal problem, Claire? This is not a thing. That is not how that works. If you are a spy and you are treasonous, you are going to still be arrested whether you are married to a dead Scot or, or married to a Continental soldier or married to a British ex-soldier. There's no automatic protection there, but we're supposed to believe that shit too. Why? Because it's Outlander. This is dumb. We aren't that stupid. Please stop acting like we are. What grade did you give this episode?
B minus.
Yep.
It's still good. Like,
Yeah,
I
I mean,
don't.
there's a lot.
It's
Leaving
better than
aside
all
all
we've
of the
been
Claire
getting.
shit, like we could leave out all of the Claire shit, and this would be a pretty good episode.
Well, even with the Claire shit, it's still entertaining as hell.
I guess.
Like, it's so funny to me that that's even like any of it. You know?
So we have much more Outlander, much more Outlander to come. We do have a plan for there's going to be like some lag in between are finishing up season 7 and being able to record on season 8, because season 8, for those of you who are paying attention, and you should be, is released once a week. So in order for us to stay on pace to have episodes of Buzz Binging twice a week, we are probably going to have a little lag time in there. And we will address it at the proper time, which is not now. So you need to be tuning in to join us. And
cheers. Cheers.